Our Hodges Glass, Little Rock Glass Hotline. Talk to our buddy Mark May, who has Pigskin. Say, what did you say, Pigskin, about?
Mark May is a national treasure.
How about that? What, that? Now, you can't get a better introduction than being a national treasure, Mark. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing, guys? I've had better weeks, but things happen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Listen, you have not just before we get into Monty Coleman, it was who were you? Of course, we lost Coach Holtz a few weeks ago, which obviously you and I shared that
Barry
bond. And then who was the other person besides Lou? There was another person you lost too, right?
Yes, Barry Wilburn played with us for the Redskins. Sonny Jurgensen, he was always around. He did our games. He played for the Redskins,
yes.
Obviously a Hall of Famer. Running back Randy McMillan, teammate at Pitt. Hasn't been a good run this year for me in the last couple of months, but I pray for those guys and their families, and hopefully things will get better for them.
Let's talk about Monty Coleman for those that don't know. You know, a lot of people in Arkansas do have heard the name Monty Coleman. We know he grew up in Pine Bluff and played football at UCA, and you know about UCA, and they've got a really good football program now. And back then, I think he was was a draft choice in the 11th round back when they had 11 rounds. And he was the first player, if I'm not mistaken, taken in the NFL draft from UCA, and he goes on to play for the Redskins and is a Hall of Famer Redskin. What is your memory of the first time you ran across Monty Coleman?
First time I saw Monty in the locker room, it was like one of those guys, it's like he looked at me, he had a huge broad shoulders and a tiny waist. I was like, God dog, what position does that guy play? And you saw him on the field at practice, and it was like, man, I know why they call this guy Soup. It's short for Superman.
Yes.
Because he could do everything. He could run and jump like a deer, sideline to sideline, come up and hit you. He could cover wide receivers. This guy did everything on the football field. That's why he played so long. He played 16 years
yes.
in the NFL.
Yep.
So for a guy to play, you know, even as a kicker, 16 years is a heck of a long career in the NFL.
Did he come in 1 year before you? Is that right?
Yeah, he was there before me, and he was there after I left, and I spent 10 years there. One thing I remember about Monty, soft-spoken guy, great heart, great person. And I know everybody says it about everybody after they pass, but he was just a fun-loving guy, but he was just a really quiet guy. And it was one of those things, he loved to go fishing. I had a farm in Clifton, Virginia, and he used to come out to my farm because I had a small pond, but I had a stream that would go through it and into the pond. He would come out, and he would fish every once in a while with me. I would be, like, out of town. Come back in town and see Monty's truck parked in my driveway because he was out back in the pond fishing
That's
in my
awesome.
House, and
That's
I didn't
awesome.
Even know he was there. But he was just one of those guys that just loved to fish and relax and have good times, and boy, what a heck of a player. Played in all four Super Bowls and won three of them for the Washington Redskins, and you know, he was one of those guys that was always there, and he seemed like every time we needed a big play defensively, Monty would come up with one. And
yeah.
He had such a great career, and you know, I'm just happy. I'm just blessed and happy that I was fortunate enough to play with him.
Yeah, he. I think it was 1980. I read where he led the NFL in tackles, and obviously was All Pro several years. And I'm blank on the defense y'all ran. So was he a traditional inside linebacker? Was he an outside sort of?
He was a will linebacker.
Okay, he was a will linebacker.
But he could play stub also, but he played mostly will because he was so fast he could run anything down.
Yeah.
And Monty was one of those guys. He was Bobby Bethard, our general manager, had a knack for finding guys from small school.
Sure.
Daryl Green,
yeah.
Monty Coleman, Barry Wilburn, Clint Didier. All these guys are from small schools you wouldn't even recognize. Portland State, schools like that. But he would have a knack for finding that guy that would fit in the NFL and play. And not just play, but play for a long time in the NFL and have great success. And Monty was one of those guys because he did it for an awful long time and he did it at such a high level.
Yeah, 16 years at linebacker is crazy. I mean, that is so impressive. Who else was on that? You know, I remember more of the offense of those Redskin teams. Of course, Steve Cox is a buddy of ours, is a Razorback, and he's here in Arkansas. Of course, we knew about Monty. But who else on that defense should I remember from those Super Bowl teams?
Dave Butts.
Oh, yeah, Dave Butts.
Daryl Grant.
Purdue.
Grant.
Dexter Manley. Charles Mann.
Yep.
Neil Okowitz. Daryl Green.
Yep.
It's like Art Monk on the offensive side. I can go on and on. There's so many great players that we had on the defensive side of the ball, but the offense got all the recognition because we were the Hogs. We won the Super Bowl. We ran the football.
Counter-three
was our main thing as an offense that we hung our hat on. And then we had Mike Theismann to win a Super Bowl. Then we had Doug Williams that won a Super Bowl, the first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl. And all of a sudden you had Mark Rippon win a Super Bowl. So Joe Gibbs was able to do it with multiple quarterbacks, which a lot of people don't give him credit for. And if you look at both sides of the ball, Richie Pettibone was our defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. He played a long time in the NFL.
Yeah, you think about it too. Obviously, the Arkansas connections there with Joe Gibbs, who was there's one of the reasons there's a Frank Broyles Award that Joe Gibbs was under Frank Broyles, and Don Breaux was as well. So a cool connection there. And yeah, the part about Monty, and then of course from there, Mark, he decides he finishes his career, decides to get into coaching, and spent, my Lord, I want to say 15 years at UAPB, both as an assistant and a head coach. And his demeanor, as you mentioned, was always really cool. I mean, he was really great, laid-back guy, very nice. I'm sure he wasn't laid-back on the field, but just really seemed to be a real genuine guy.
He definitely was. Very knowledgeable about the game of football and could relate to people in his own way. And that's one of the things I always remember about Monty. He always had this snicker that he used to smile about things. And you know, he was laughing on the inside because it was something that you did on the field, or he got you on a play. Like, you come down the block, or you go out and counter-trade to try to kick him out, and he'd, like, take a step up the field and come back under, and you whiff him, and he'd, like, just turn around and, like, give you this, like, wry smile. It's like, all right, I got you next time. You may be smaller and quicker than me, but I'm going to figure out a way to get you. He was that type of player on the practice field, and when he got in games, he was just such a great player and such a great leader for the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, it's, you know, and the other part of it, and I tell you, my mind, I cannot remember. So he went into the Jefferson County Sports Hall of Fame last year, which is same place where Willie Rofe came out of, Torrey Hunter, so many great, Don Hutson, they produced so many great athletes. And I want to say, I'm trying to think, Mark, if he, the person in charge, Jeff Gross, probably going to shoot me, because I want to say I thought I saw him there in a wheelchair last year. And I remember hearing he was not doing good. I can't remember if I got down and said hello to him or not. But obviously, 68, he'd been dealing with some health issues. This was not something that came out of nowhere. Is that correct? Is this something he'd been fighting for quite a while?
Yeah, that's what I heard. I was on the phone with Daryl Grant yesterday. We were talking yesterday, and he just said he's been sick for a while. And I said, well, we need to get a hotline between us, guys, because for some bad reason, you know, guys are going left and right here. We need to get a hotline between all those former players that stay in touch with each other and find out how each other's doing, because you think you can do it through, like, the NFL alumni or the NFL Retired Players Association. It's really not enough. Joe Gibbs used to have an event each year in North Carolina where he'd bring everybody in from the Super Bowl teams and Super Bowl years, and everybody could get together for some camaraderie, have some fun, catch up and do business. We did that for about 5 or 6 years, and then that ended. But I think the older players get now, I think it's more important for them. We should probably start doing something like that again.
Yeah, that you're exactly right. It was good to see you at Coach Holtz's funeral. I thought that was I don't think we've had you on the show since then. I thought it was a great tribute to Coach Holtz. And, I mean, it was so crazy, Chuck. I don't know if I told you. I mentioned on the air. So we're walking out of this church, this beautiful, you know, Catholic church, mm-hmm. on the campus of Notre Dame, and we're going to walk to the gravesite. And, of course, it's snowing. You know, and we're walking, and you see this big, large group leaving the church, and the hearse has the coffin, and then there's a band playing, I think, Notre Dame music or whatever, and then you get to the graveside, and it's, you know, a stone's throw from Rockne. Anyway, I just in my mind, I thought Coach Holtz would probably be pleased with, although probably wish it wasn't quite so cold for everybody, but it would just, the setting would just seem to be historic in nature and something Coach Holtz would like.
He loved that school. Man, he loved that school.
He and his wife Beth both are buried at that cemetery.
Yep, yep.
That day was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful service. I think the family did a phenomenal job. The music was phenomenal. The way it was presented, I think it was outstanding. The respect of all the people that came there for former players, former teammates, former coaches, and just fans in the Notre Dame family. And you're right. We were walking down. I was walking with Reese and his wife Lee, and all of a sudden the snow starts coming harder. It starts coming harder, almost step by step, Baz. Remember that? It was almost snowing.
Yes.
Finally,
yes.
Cold.
Yeah.
And Reese leans over to me. He goes, you know, Dr. Lou's up there laughing his butt off. Then I got you guys one final time.
That's right. Yeah, so that was good. And then I was going to tell you, Mark, you know, Mark's been so kind. You know, Chuck does our prayer every year, and both for the Touchdown Club and the Broyles Award. Of course, Mark, we have him at the Broyles Award every year. And got a chance this past week, last Thursday, to take the Broyles Award trophy up to Indiana. It was Indiana spring game, and present that in front of their crowd, their spring game. Of course, it was the same night that Mendoza goes number one, so there was a great buzz, you know, around the stadium and around the program. But Brian Haynes, you know, won it this year, Mark, if you remember. Did you guys see the little tit for tat with Ty Simpson from Alabama and Brian Haynes? Did you guys see that?
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I caught that. It was like, come on, guys.
If you get dragged like that, you probably shouldn't say anything demeaning about the people that drag
and
you.
And normally coaches don't get involved, and I'm sort of glad Brian Haynes said, I think the first word he said, adorable. He said adorable.
Oh,
he said
sweet.
He said, because I guess Simpson said we knew every play, we knew everything that you were doing, and so Brian Haynes tweets out adorable. We knew everything that you were doing. That's why you didn't gain a yard or whatever.
Yeah, if you knew everything, why'd you score all the 3 points?
I just had never seen a defensive coordinator, and I really like him, Mark. I think he's going to be a head coach after next year. He's just too good of a guy, too sharp, too intense. Look what he's done. I'll be shocked if him and Heatherman, the defense coordinator at Miami, I think he's head coach material. The guy at Texas Tech also. I mean, I think this group just had a lot of, to me, head coach material with them.
Definitely so. Within the next year, they'll definitely be head coaches, particularly with all the success that they've had. If they continue to have that success, they'll definitely be head coaches. But, you know, it's just funny when you bring all these coaches every year for the Broyles Award and you sit back and it's almost like verbatim. It's like, that guy's going to be a head coach.
Yeah.
That guy's
going
to be a head coach. That guy has to be a head coach. Within the next 2 years, they're all head coaches.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just amazing the talent that you guys bring in for the Broyles every year.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think there's five NFL coaches that have been to Little Rock or been now in Hot Springs. Five coaches that are coaching NFL teams. Pretty crazy.
Well, my Michigan boys got lucky hiring Whittingham because he was kind of pushed out because his heir apparent was already on staff.
Yeah.
Well, another Broyles guy.
Yeah, I just went blank on his name. His new head coach at Utah because –
Scally.
Morgan Scally. So, and we were talking about Munkin at Cleveland and Jesse Minter at Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And then at Buffalo from LSU, Brady. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so anyway, yeah. But it's – now, have you would you come to Arkansas for the funeral service? Have they announced any details on that yet, Mark?
I haven't heard anything yet. Just on a text chain with everybody else. And usually with these things, it's kind of slow going the first couple of days because people are kind of in shock, even though if they're prepared for it. Then things will finally pick up probably this week sometime. We'll probably get some information on it.
Yeah, I definitely think if you had to look at it, and, you know, he's in the – we had mentioned the Jefferson County Sports Hall of Fame, but he's in the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame. He's in the Washington Redskin Hall of Fame, I would imagine, too. It's interesting, Mark. During the banquet – Saturday night down in Pine Bluff, somebody came up to me. I don't know if it was Jeff or somebody else who just said, hey, listen, there is a push to try to help get Monty Coleman in the NFL Hall of Fame. I don't know if he qualifies. I don't know what it takes to get in the – you know that better than I do. But it's interesting they were talking about that I know this much from a accomplishment standpoint. You know, Willie Rofe has got a gold jacket, and he's, what, 13 Pro Bowls, which is just nutso. And I know this much, whether, you know, regardless of the talk about the gold jacket, he's the most successful in terms of Super Bowl rings of anybody to come out of the state of Arkansas. I can't think of anybody else who's got 3 Super Bowl rings. Well, there might be somebody, but it might be the kid out of Malvern. I can't think. I just went blank on his name.
Well, and think, 2 of the greatest players in Redskins history are Arkansas kids. You got Monty Coleman, and who's the other one? Bobby Mitchell.
Yeah, Bobby Mitchell.
Mitchell was a legend.
Yeah, Bobby Mitchell.
Yeah.
And, of course, Dan Hampton wins a Super Bowl, one of the great teams of all time. So, but anyway, the main point is just saying, as you mentioned, Mark, 16 years, what an amazing accomplishment.
Tremendous.
3 Super Bowl rings, and then they obviously had a nice career, you know, helping you APB. So, thanks for jumping on with us, Mark. Always appreciate it. Sorry that it seems like the last few times we've talked, it's all about somebody that's passing. But it also reminds us life's a vapor. And I got to enjoy the time we have with each other. And appreciate you, man. You're the best.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you coming on. And listen to that on a high note. Tell Taylen Green he can get a shot at quarterback. Todd will give him a shot. But go to wide receiver. You'll play a dozen years in the NFL and maybe be a Hall of Famer.
All right.
6'6", long wingspan.
I know.
Jump out of the roof.
I know.
43 vertical, runs a 4.3 and change 40. Are you kidding me?
I know.
Who's going to cover him in the red zone?
I know.
Who's going to cover him on 3rd and 3?
Yeah,
you don't have a defensive back that's over 6'1".
Yeah, he is dead set on doing the quarterback, and I'm not sure that Cleveland's the best place to try to get that started. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, he's one gifted dude physically for sure.
There was another.
What he
former...
can do is what Jackie Sherrill did to me. Jackie said, "I'll give you the opportunity to play defense." First training camp of my rookie year, my freshman year at Pittsburgh, I played defense for the first practice. Second practice, I was an offensive line. Never went back to defense. But he did give me that opportunity.
Well, we got Hugh Green and Ricky Jackson. We need you on the offensive line.
It all worked out. All right, Mark, thanks again, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right,
you're the best.
Guys, take care.
All right, we'll
you
take
well.